would, get your Bibles. We'll turn to Psalms 89 first. We have two this morning. Psalms 89, starting in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. And then if you would, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll read verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45 that darkness came upon the earth while Jesus was on the cross. My friends, the darkness of the crucifixion gives way to the light of the resurrection. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, I've known some people that no matter how great things in their life were, they seemed perpetually down and negative. I've known some people that regardless of how devastating their circumstances might be, they seem to be so upbeat. And it always makes me ask myself, Mike, you believe in the love of God, don't you? And I think I can relate to you. We believe that God loves us. But sometimes our experience of God's love and what we know to be true about Him loving us don't quite match. You know what I mean? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Often we worry about the future, or the past, or just what's around the corner. And worry is interest paid on trouble. And I want you to look at Matthew 6, 33 and 34, and it's a familiar passage, and we'll use this to dive into one of our major texts this morning. But Matthew 6, 33 is a well-known passage. And it speaks of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. I want you to know that Matthew 6, 33 is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, yes. But it's specifically found, Matthew 6, 33, in a context regarding worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't be drowning in worry. Don't be overwhelmed by your worries. And, you know, it's one thing to plan for the future, and Jesus taught about that, about counting the cost and planning for the future in Luke 14, 28 through 33. But here He's talking about trusting Him and not worrying about what happened in the past, because His blood can take care of that, and not worry about the future, because His providential care can take care of that. Then you look at verse 34. And verse 34 is really interesting, because it ends in the King James Version by saying, "Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." And the idea is every day will bring its challenges, its difficulties, its struggles. Every day. But God's love and compassion will be present tomorrow. We have God's love and compassion today. And we have the assurance, the promise of God for His love and mercy tomorrow. Again, sometimes that's hard to experience. And you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, it's a little book sandwiched between two big ones in the Old Testament, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. But when you look at Lamentations, the very word lament or lamentation, it has to do with trouble and sorrow and grief and death and devastation. Life is hard. But God is good. And I think one of the hardest things in any of our lives is to understand that there's truth in both. Life is hard. God is good. Lamentations is a 5-chapter long book. As Jeremiah looks at a nation that has been devastated, death is everywhere. Disease is rampant. Hope is at an all-time low. And this was Israel. And so you have this book called Lamentations that's about sorrow and grief and pain and hurt. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet in the Old Testament, because as he sees this judgment coming, and then in Lamentations as it's occurred, it's just overwhelming. Life can be so hard, huh? I've known people through the years that have dealt with things like that. Devastating sorrow and pain and loss, grief. And yet, at the same time, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now look at the middle of the book of Lamentations. How bad are things? How does Jeremiah, who's a man of God, a prophet, how does he feel? He says, "My endurance, my strength is gone." It's dead. My strength and endurance and being able to face all of this calamity and heartache, I'm not there. It's gone. And then he says something in verse 18 that maybe, just maybe, you can relate to. My hope also from the Lord is gone. My strength is gone, and my hope, I'm fresh out. Two certainties that I spoke about last Sunday. Everybody will hurt. All of us will hurt. But secondly, all of us need hope. We all need hope. Now, when you look at Lamentations 3, look at verse 21. He says, I call to remembrance. He's been low. He's been really down. He's hurting. Everywhere he looks, things are so sad. And then he says, my hope is in God. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, it is hard to deal with the fact that we are not given an answer why all the things happen in our lives that happen. Oftentimes people come to me as a preacher and they ask, why has this happened? And to be honest, most of the time my response is, I have no idea. I don't know. But I believe this, and I believe that you do too, or you want to believe it, or you wouldn't be present this morning. Who we trust and what we do in trusting is bigger than why. The who issue and the what issue is bigger than the why question. To trust God. And what Jeremiah is needing as his world has fallen apart and everything is gone, that's what he's saying. The nation's gone. When I begin to remember, I have hope. A living hope, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Get this idea. Jeremiah's viewpoint changed when he considered the character of God. Jeremiah's viewpoint changed when he considered the character of God. Now, I ask you this question quickly. Did the circumstances change? No. But his perspective changed when he saw the character of God. People are going to hurt. People need hope. Weeping endures for the night. Joy comes in the morning. The darkness of the crucifixion gives way to the light of the resurrection. The who question, God. The what question, trust, put your faith in me. These are bigger questions than the why. God's given us the who and what. What I'd like to do is look at verses 22 through 24 with you quickly. And notice how he puts his hope in the character of God. And look at five qualities about God in this one little section of Scripture in Lamentations chapter 3. The first quality is this: unceasing love. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His unceasing love. The word there is capable of a wide variety of meanings. You may have His faithful love, His covenant mercy, His covenant love, His loyal love. In the New Testament, the word is grace, gracious love. I have loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. To know the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love which surpasses knowledge, Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Think about that. To know the breadth and length and depth and height of what is incomprehensible, and to be filled with the fullness of God. What a prayer. He's praying for Christians in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Paul is. And he's praying, not only would we know God's love, but that we would experience God's love with greater breadth and length and depth and height. When you know who to put your trust in and who we're putting our trust in, even when we don't understand why, we can experience God's love to a greater degree. Unceasing love. The steadfast love of the Lord, and mark it, never, never ceases. The day will one day come when I no longer will walk with Cherie, my wife. But the day will never come when she cannot walk in the steadfast love of the Lord. In the West, we're so spoiled, in our country in particular. Blessings everywhere. Goodness, good things. But God is enough. One never really understands that God is enough until something or someone precious to us is no longer beside us. Someone once said to me, and I've never forgotten it, they said, "Mike, I never knew that Jesus was all I needed until I felt like Jesus was all I have. I never really thought enough about how He's all that I needed until I started to feel like He's all that I have." Unceasing love. You see, life is hard, but God is good. We can have hope based on the very character of God, His unceasing love. Amen. Secondly, we can have hope And we can experience God's steadfast love to a greater degree because of His unbounded compassion. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And then it says, His mercies never come to an end. Wow, look at that in Lamentations 3:22. His compassions never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion in the New Testament. Matthew 9 and verse 36. Matthew 14 and verse 14. The Word of God tells us that Jesus, our high priest, is merciful and faithful. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. When we go to God's throne, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, there is mercy and grace to be found in time of need. That's just how God is. That's who He is and what He's like. I want my daily experience of God's love and mercy to be equal to what I preach about it on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesdays. Compassions. It says, and by the way, it's in the plural, mercies. Compassions. It actually is in the plural. And it says, they are new every morning. Like the manna that was given to Israel when they were heading toward the promised land. Exodus 16:4. The bread of heaven that Jesus referred to, initially referring to the manna in John 6. 51 through 54, and then he refers to himself as the bread of life. Things are so much clearer because of the darkness of the cross giving way to the light of the resurrection. So you've got unceasing love, and you have unbounded with boundless, boundless mercy and compassion. Brian, it's because that's who God is. It's because of what He is like. Now focus again at Lamentations 3. Unchanging faithfulness. This third quality is amazing. They all are. Unchanging faithfulness. People know the devastation and heartache of someone that they've been married to for some time coming to them and say, I don't love you anymore. I found somebody else. Parents may hear from their children, I hate you. Children may hear from their parents, you're no good. I hate you. I don't know why I ever brought you into this world. You may have heard things like that. It's painful. It hurts. But may I say as sincerely as I possibly can, our God is trustworthy, loyal, and dependable, a God of constant fidelity and loyalty. Even when I am not feeling it the way I would like, it does not change the fact that He is faithful. God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. Why? He's faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Our God is faithful, and He will establish us and keep us from the evil one, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we repent, 1 John 1, 7 through 9. God is faithful, and when He says, yes, this is me, you can count on it. You can depend on it. He is faithful even when we are not. 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. Unchanging faithfulness. Well, do I remember Wilbur and Carolyn Harkness in this congregation. They were such dear friends and were such a blessing to Westside for so many years and to so many of us. As they aged and they would walk in the building and he would be holding her hand and they'd be walking like this. Those small steps, baby steps. And then the time came when he would push her in a wheelchair to their seat and right about where you are, Miss Donna, right about where Jim and Sharon sits, where the Harkness is always set. And they are just a sterling example of something that I've been blessed to see many times. People who were faithful to their promises, even when it was hard, because they would trust in God together. And when I'd see them walk in like that, I would hope that God would allow Sheree and me to have that opportunity. But whether He does or not, it's not a reflection on His love. It is not a reflection on His lack of compassion or mercy. It is not a reflection on His lack of being faithful. Oh, I want to experience God's love and compassion and faithfulness to a greater degree in my own life. Number four, look at Lamentations 3:22 through 24 yet again. He says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul." The Lord is my portion. Remember the earlier comment? I appreciated more that Jesus was all I need when Jesus was all I had. And as Jeremiah looks around, the Lord is my portion. Under the Old Testament in Numbers 18 and verse 20, the Levites were not allocated land. They would live by the generosity of the rest of the tribes. Jeremiah is saying, Babylon has come and they are dividing the spoils of this country. But no oppressing army can take away what I have in God. The Lord is my portion. And just as the Levites were taken care of by the people, in a New Testament sense, Adam and I and our families are taken care of by you, brethren. And in our case, that was through COVID. It's through all kinds of things. But ultimately, it was due to God. Unlimited inheritance. somehow I got a sneaky feeling that when we get to heaven, some of us are going to be asking ourselves, why in the world did I want to stay on earth as long as I did? You know what I mean? Why in the world did I want to stay here as long as I did? And maybe that's the answer. I didn't get it. Unlimited inheritance, where every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is going to be enjoyed because we're in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, where abundant life will be enjoyed to the fullest, John 10 and verse 10, and where there'll never be another sin committed, another funeral attended, another grief and sorrow or lament experienced. Number five, unlimited inheritance. And then notice, number five, undiminished hope. This has got to be one of the greatest passages in the Old Testament. And think about where it's found in one of the most down, depressing, despondent books of the Bible. But when Jeremiah focused on this, it changed his perspective, even though the circumstances remain the same. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Undiminished hope. Now, I love this book for a number of reasons, because now he's saying, therefore I will hope in Him. My hope is in the Lord, verse 21. But verse 18, everything's hopeless. In the space of four or five verses, he goes from hopelessness to remembering hope to hoping in the Lord. And doesn't that sound just like you and me sometimes? Amen to that? I just don't know how we're going to make it. My strength is gone. I'm worried. But the idea expressed in Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 still holds true. The key to our hope is in the steadfast love of God, His compassion, His faithfulness, His promised inheritance for us. In Him we hope. Now take just a moment and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 89 that Jeff Scott read for us at the beginning. Psalm 89. And I'm just going to focus on verse 1 as we wrap up our study of God's Word and experiencing God's love. I would encourage you to pray Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 back to God. Whenever you're going through real difficulties and you're lamenting how things are in life. But I would also encourage you to consider Psalm 89. I don't know who in the world Ethan the Ehudite is, but I sure do appreciate the first couple of verses, especially of Psalm 89. He begins saying, I will sing of your steadfast love. Some things you just got to sing about. Some things are just meant to be celebrated. And though we have pain and hurt, the steadfast love of the Lord ought to be celebrated, and maybe especially so during those times. I will sing of your steadfast love. And then notice secondly, after celebration, you might put off to the side in your Bible Duration. Duration. I will sing of your steadfast love. How long? Just while I'm going through these hard times? Just until the next hard time comes? You see how beautifully balanced the Bible is? Life is hard. That's true. We shouldn't diminish its toughness and hardness and difficulty. There are people in this very assembly that I personally don't know how you're taking one step and putting one step in front of the other. But God is good. Forever. Forever. I'm going to tell all the people in the verse 1. Forever. You know what? The whole idea in that, Thomas Marshall, is this. Even death itself in the end. I will sing of your steadfast love forever. It's just another step in the road. It may be a painful step, and likely will be, but it's just another step. I will sing of your steadfast love forever. And then notice this idea, this concept, proclamation. With my mouth, with my mouth, all generations will hear my praise of your steadfast love and faithfulness. I think of those occasions when I've been so overwhelmed by my struggles and by my pain and my hurt that I said things I should have never said. Maybe you have too. God forgive me. May God forgive you as well. May I see, even in times of lamentation, the opportunity for proclamation. And may that leave such an impact on my wife, my children, my grandkids, my family, my friends, that that will be remembered when you hurt, because you will. But thank God, we also need hope, and He gives it in abundance. Amen to that. I want you to not only believe that God loves you, I want you to experience more of God's steadfast love. It will help you as nothing possibly can. Don't turn to substitutes, because I'll guarantee you they're going to be a poor substitute. Don't be overwhelmed and drowned by the adversity and the heartache and the pain. Don't be overwhelmed, please. It may knock you down for a little bit. But look to God in His steadfast love and His great compassion and His faithfulness and the inheritance that awaits, and that you can place your hope on Him, because He's as good as His Word. For anyone here who's not a Christian,